Good morning. Welcome to church. Unfortunately, that means welcome to online church. Once again, I'm in an empty room by myself, but I'm glad that you can join me from where you're at. We can stay safe while we wait for some of these COVID cases within our church to die down and go away. We want to keep everyone safe. So I'm glad for the technology, and I know I've said that a whole bunch this year, but I'm glad for this technology that we can be together even when we can't be together. So I'm glad you're here. Stay tuned for news this week as we decide if we will meet in person next Sunday or if we'll stay online for one more week. I want to share a prayer request with you at the very top for my grandpa. He, 2 weeks ago this 2 weeks ago tomorrow, he had his gallbladder removed after being in and out of the hospital for several weeks. I went home on Thanksgiving Day, was doing okay, we thought, and then it turns out he's going to have to go back in for another surgery on Tuesday. His body is nowhere near ready for that, but it has to be done, so keep him in your prayers. If you have a prayer request that you'd like to share with everyone, drop it in the comment section below, or if you just want to say hi, if you have a question or a comment as we go through, you can do all of that as well. This is the first Sunday in December, so that means we're starting our Advent series leading up to Christmas. We're going to take a short break from Acts as we do that. With that, I have a couple of announcements. One, we're not going to have our focus group tonight, but then on the topic of Advent, the Wednesday evening before Christmas, the 23rd, we're going to have a candlelight service here at the church. Hopefully, let's pray that we are back to meeting in person well before that time. Hopefully, we're able to gather together. We'll have a candlelight service. We'll read the Christmas story. We'll sing some carols. We'll take communion. I don't believe we've actually set a time for that, but I'm imagining 6-ish. So go ahead and pencil that into your calendar, December 23rd. Candlelight Christmas service, communion. So be here for that. I'm really looking forward to that. We're going to be this morning in 1 Peter chapter 1, where we're going to spend the majority of our time. But our sort of key text, a key verse, if you will, is going to be in Romans 12. So go ahead and open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1, as well as Romans chapter 12, as we start off our Advent series on the topic of hope this morning. Romans chapter 12, verse 12 is going to be our key verse this morning. So if you will look there with me, we'll go ahead and read that together. Rejoice in hope, be patient in affliction, be persistent in prayer. If there was ever a banner verse for a calendar year, Romans 12:12 is the banner verse for 2020. I don't have to tell you guys, 2020's been a tough year in a lot of ways. I mentioned last week in the message that there have been a couple times where I've been hit with some anxiety, some fear, things like that. I think most people this year have. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm probably also not the only one who has had some other things going on this year, not directly related to the chaos that is 2020, but some other things that might be going on in your life that have kind of combined with that chaos of the year to sort of overwhelm you at times and just make your head spin. And I know that for the last couple of weeks for me, it's just kind of been a whirlwind. Kind of left my head spinning, just not, you know, one of those times where it's just, you're not really sure which way is up. And so for me personally, I couldn't ask for a better time to start this Advent season to kind of help snap me back into focus, get my head back on straight. And some of you will be able to relate to that. Some of you might not. Some of you have had a pretty good year, and And I don't want to be overly dramatic or negative. I've had a pretty good year. Some great things have happened this year as well. But some of you might have had just a great year. You can't relate to that relief of the Advent season right now, maybe, and that's awesome. If that's you, if you're having a great year, no anxiety, no fear, that's incredible. And do what Romans 12:12 says, and continue to rejoice and hope. Be an example for your fellow believers, for your fellow humans. Be a light shining in the darkness for other people to see, and you can point people to that hope. That's an awesome thing. So if you're not in that boat, that's incredible. Stay there. Now let's flip over to keep your spot in Romans 12. Flip over to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to come back to Romans 12 to kind of tie things back up. But 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Let's say a word of prayer before we dive in. God, we love you. We're so grateful for your word. We're grateful for this time that we have to come together to spend in your word. And we're grateful for yet another Christmas season where we refocus our hearts and our minds on you, on your coming, on your gift of salvation, your life, your death, your resurrection. Help us to prepare our hearts to celebrate that one more time. God, I pray that you would speak your word through me this morning, that your word would speak to all of our hearts, that we would humble ourselves before you today. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. Hope is our topic this morning, the first week of Advent. He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Why do we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ? Why is it so important? His birth is so important, and it's so worthy of celebration because of his death and his resurrection. Jesus came, he was born on this earth for the express purpose of dying to pay the price for my sin and your sin. I love, there's a song by Reliant K called Celebrate the Day, and I love this line in it. It says, I celebrate the day that you were born to die, that I might one day pray for you to save my life. But we know that he didn't stay dead, but he rose from the dead on the third day. And through faith in Jesus, we can both have forgiveness of sin through his death and eternal life through his resurrection. And so our hope is a living hope, as Romans 12:12 calls it. A living hope, because the source of our hope is living, because Jesus rose and he is alive today at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Now, in the Old Testament, hope was based on the promise of a coming Messiah, that there would be one who would come to make all things right. He would come and free his creation. He would bless the whole world. Now, in 2020, our hope is in the fact that he has come, that he came 2,000 years ago. And if you can't accept any other fact about Jesus and who he is and what he did, his birth, the fact that he was a real human being at a real time in history, is rock solid history. I mean, you can't deny that historical fact that Jesus was born. He came to this earth. The Messiah came. Whether you accept him as the Messiah or not, Jesus came. But hang on a second, because his death also is more firmly attested than just about any other historical event in history, any ancient event in history. And then you consider that the evidence for his resurrection is practically impossible to explain away when you put all the pieces to the puzzle together, shy of just a blanket denial of all things supernatural. So the fact that he was born, that Jesus Christ existed, undeniable history. His death, undeniable history. His resurrection, practically undeniable history if you're willing to accept the supernatural. even the possibility of the supernatural. Then for good measure, you can throw in the statistical impossibility that any one person could fulfill even a handful of the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled about himself, much less the hundreds that he did fulfill, all of those Old Testament prophecies outlaying every detail of his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. All of that combined into one, and you have a hope that is rock solid, a living hope, because it's based on historical fact. And nothing can change that, nothing can take it away. He came, he lived, he died, he rose again. And because he's kept all of his promises for the coming Messiah, he kept all of those Old Testament promises for his coming, for his work, and everything that he did on this earth, and everything that he did to purchase my salvation, to give me new life. Because of all of that, and because he's alive today, we can trust him to keep his future promises, everything that he says he will do in the future. And that's what we see in the next couple of verses. Verse 4, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You're being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. You see, our hope is based in past events, but our hope is for a future inheritance. That's what we're waiting for. That's what we're hoping for. And we know that that future inheritance is being guarded and protected and held fast by God's strong and capable hands, and we know that that's secure. We know that we are secure in him, that he will not lose any of us if our faith is in him. Nothing can take that inheritance away. Nothing can take us away from him. It is a solid hope. And our hope, it will be revealed at a future time when Christ returns, when all is made right, when evil is defeated, when sin and suffering are no more, when his throne is established forever and he finally has that perfect rule over all of creation. Now, he has power over all creation now, but he has willingly given some over for the time being. We have a picture of this in Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne, "Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away." Then the one seated on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." He also said, "Write, because these words are faithful and true." We have that picture of Christ coming again, of heaven and earth being made new for all of eternity, all death and pain and suffering being wiped away. And because Jesus came once, we can be sure that he's going to come again. Because that baby was born in a manger 2,000 years ago, our spiritual rebirth is sure, and we can wait with hope for his second coming, when all things will be made new, when everything will receive this new birth. And we know this all because of his first birth. We know that God keeps his promises. We know that he's coming again. Not even a year like 2020 can take away that hope. And it can't take away our ability to rejoice in that hope. We always have a reason to rejoice in the living hope that we have, because that hope can never be taken away. And so even in a year like 2020, no matter what's going on in your life, there's still reason to rejoice in the hope that we have. Verses 6 and 7, we see a little bit of that. You rejoice in this, our hope, our inheritance. We rejoice in it, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which, though perishable, is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, even when we go through trials, we go through difficulties, hardships, we still have a reason to rejoice because our hope is secure. And we know that hardships can produce something good in us, that oftentimes God will use that suffering to do something in our life, to produce maturity, to draw us to Him, to create unity within the body. We talked about that recently, how He brings the church together through hardships. All of these, God is so powerful and sovereign that He's able to take these hardships and He's able to use them for His purposes, to do good things in our life, and He's able to do good things for His own glory. And so we see these hardships, and we're in the middle of them, and it's difficult, and it's troubling, it's fear, it brings out fear in us. But we know that we can rejoice because God is using those bad things for His glory, for His purposes. He's doing something good in us. And we can rejoice in them because we know that our hope is still there. And so in those times when we face difficulties, we remember our banner verse for the year, Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in affliction, be persistent in prayer. When times get tough, when it becomes difficult to keep rejoicing, because sometimes it will, we rejoice in hope. We don't try to force ourselves to rejoice over the current circumstances. We rejoice in hope of the future. We keep our eyes on the cross. We keep our eyes on the empty tomb. And we always rejoice in what Christ has done for us. That incredible gift of salvation that we've been forgiven. We've been given new life. We have an inheritance that is secure in the future eternity. We will be with Him forever. That's what we rejoice in. That's what we look to. That's what we keep our eyes on. And as we rejoice in hope, we have to remember to be patient in affliction. As we're dealing with difficult things, we have to have patience. And patience comes with foresight. When we're able to have the maturity to see past the current situation, we can have patience. When it's, I don't know, let's think of some examples. When you're on a diet, you can have patience if you know that you've got a cheat meal coming in a couple of days. You've got dessert in a few days, so you're going to be good for now. You've got patience. You can patiently save your money because you can think ahead to when you're going to be retired and you're going to need that extra savings and you want to do this or that. And you can think ahead to how you want to live then, and so you can save now and be good with your money. When we can see past the current situation, then we can be patient. When we can see the finish line, we're able to be patient in the affliction. We keep our eyes on the prize, we keep our eyes on eternity, and we can endure while rejoicing because of the hope that we have. And then the third part of that verse, while we're rejoicing, while we're being patient, is we have to pray persistently. And we pray because we need God. We can't do this, and by this, I just mean anything, without Him. Even though we have this head knowledge, everything that we've talked about so far, about the hope that we have in Christ, we have the historical knowledge that He came, that He died, that He rose again. We have the future promises that He's coming again. Even though we know our hope is secure, even though we know we have that to look forward to, sometimes head knowledge doesn't make it to our heart. And even with all of this knowledge about the source of our hope, the object of our hope, we still need His strength to endure. We still need His peace that passes understanding so that we can rejoice in the face of any trial. Because our peace, our joy, if it's coming from us, it's gonna stumble, it's gonna falter. We need His peace and His joy to come into our hearts, to take over. We need Him to refocus us on Himself, to draw us to Him, so that we can rejoice in the face of whatever's happening. And so we pray. And we pray persistently. We continue to pray over and over and over. We cast our cares on Him because He cares for us. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be persistent in prayer. That verse comes in the context, in the surrounding passage that verse is in, is talking about Christian ethics, how we should live. There's just a lot of broad, sweeping statements. Love without hypocrisy. Hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't be proud. But then the passage wraps up with this. This is the final verse of the passage, the little chapter paragraph that we see, that we find verse 12. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. Here's the cool part, though. Jesus already conquered evil. When He died on the cross, evil lost all of its power. Sin no longer has a hold on us. When we place our faith in Him, when we lay it at His feet, when we say, God, I surrender this to You, Jesus has already defeated it. Satan has no hold on us. He's already conquered it, and He's coming again to do away with it once and for all. And as we saw in that picture in Revelation 21, there will be no sin, there will be no suffering, there will be no evil once He comes again. Or as Jesus said in John 16:33, you will have suffering in this world. That's a guarantee, that's a given. You're going to suffer. But be courageous, because I have overcome the world. So in the face of COVID, the face of racial tension, elections, wars, famines, persecution, in the face of anything, we can rejoice in the hope of our eternal future with Christ, that we will be with Him forever because of the historical fact of His birth, death, and resurrection. And that is the hope that we have of Christmas. God, we love You. We're so thankful for the hope that we have in You, that it is unwavering, that no matter what we're going through, we can still look to You, and we still have a future hope, and we can rejoice in that hope. And I think a lot of people need that after the year that we've had, to refocus our eyes on You and to rejoice in the hope of our future inheritance. God, we love You. I ask that You would just come into each person's heart, just renew that hope, that peace, that joy. Just draw us each to You and begin to prepare our hearts to celebrate You in just a fresh and a new way this Christmas. Maybe this year is exactly what we need to refocus and to celebrate break Christmas the way that it's meant to be celebrated. Focused on You, the hope that we have, the life, the joy, the peace, the salvation that we have because You came. You lived, You died, and You rose again, and You're alive today. And You stand at the door and knock, and anyone who opens the door and invites You in, places their faith in You, can have new life and can celebrate Christmas in a brand new way this year. God, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.